When I go to a conference, I define a goal that I can share with other people. It might be find and implement at least 2 communication strategies by the end of the weekend. And then you kind of filter for what people do on stage. And then that's what you're learning, not the information they're teaching, but what they're doing on stage. Or maybe I'll say, hey, I'm looking to meet 5 new authors and set up a virtual coffee. Do you know anybody in the room that's an author? I'm kind of trying to share my goal with other people so they can help me achieve it.
So everybody give me a warm welcome for Nick Hutchins in the house, my man. Nick, how you doing, my friend?
Trevor, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to jump in and talk about the power of the written word, like you said so well. So yeah, I'm an open book, pun intended.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love the hat too, by the way. You got to rep your own gear, man. That's what I'm talking about. So rise of the leader. All right. So I want to dive in a little bit to your journey. So can you tell us more about your early discovery? You said you started this when you were 20, your early discovery of personal development. Okay. And how it has shaped your life's trajectory, where you're at today.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, I actually wasn't much of a reader, which might surprise anybody that can see my background today. I have about 1,000 books behind me. And so I was more of the athlete growing up, a little bit less of the academic. But when I was going into my senior year of college, I took an internship at a local software company. And my boss at the time recognized the fact that I had about an hour commute each way to this internship, but I was just spending my time listening to music. And so he said to me, Nick, listening to the same playlist for the 1,000th time, it's not going to get you closer to where you want to be in life, but the right personal development podcast might. And so I started to listen to podcasts. And what was super cool for me was that so many of the successful people being interviewed, they gave at least some credit for their success to the books that they were reading. And so I just kind of had this moment where I realized if I deliberately chose not to read books, then I'm also deliberately choosing to live under my potential. And so I picked up a couple of good personal development books and I have not looked back since. So like you mentioned, my book is actually Rise of the Reader. And
Did I say leader? I dropped the ball. I said leader, didn't I?
Yeah, but you know what? Readers are leaders. So it felt good either way.
See that? Hold on. Boop. Mic drop. Okay. So yeah. All right. Tell me about that book. Okay. Can you share some key strategies of your book, Rise of the Reader? Okay. Reader, guys, not leader. Rise of the Reader. Okay. That can help our listeners to become, you know, more effective and intentional readers.
Yes, absolutely. I have so many things to share with everybody. Real quick, I'll give the backstory for why I decided to write this book. So not only did books change every area of my life, but I built a community of about 200,000 nonfiction book lovers over the last 10 years. And so many people, they'd reach out with the same questions. They'd say, hey, Nick, I appreciate all of the book recommendations, but how do I choose the right book? How do I schedule reading time into my calendar? How many books should I read a year? How do I get more from them? Reading strategies, note-taking strategies, implementation strategies. So I decided to write the book on the subject. So one of my favorite places to start in conversations like this is I'll ask somebody, hey, Trevor, what are you reading? And you'll tell me and I'll say, why? And oftentimes people will be like, what do you mean, why? And I'm like, well, we need to set an intention for each book that we read. And I love to use the SMART goal format. So when I set a goal for each book, I want it to be specific, measurable. I want it to be attainable, meaning realistic. I want it to be relevant to my personal life or my business, so I'm emotionally connected to the outcome of the book. And I want to give myself a deadline. I want it to be time-bound. So that's the SMART framework. And I'll give an example. So many people are reading $100 Million Leads by Alex Hormozi right now. Amazing book. Alex is the man. But so many people are just aimlessly reading the book, hoping that it's going to change their life. Instead, I say, let's build a SMART goal for the book. So for me, when I open up the book, I'm looking to find and implement at least 2 lead generation strategies for my business book thinkers by the end of September. That is specific. It's measurable. I know whether or not the book achieved its goal. That's attainable. I didn't say make $100 million. I just said, find and implement 2 strategies. It's relevant to my business because frankly, we stink at lead gen. I'll have to check out your LinkedIn optimization. And then it's time bound. I said by the end of September. So that's kind of step 1. We need to be really intentional with the books that we read.
I love that. So it's like, you know, I tell people when you go to a conference, right, you know, look for that one or two things that you can take home and apply and take action on. Otherwise, it's just a big old fat waste of time. You get all jacked up on Mountain Dew, you know, you get all the pumped up on motivation, which is great, cool. But then you fizzle out and you're wondering, hey, why am I not getting any results? I'm going to all these conferences and spending thousands of dollars and doing all this stuff. Well, you're not getting results because you're not taking action. Okay. And so to your point, you're saying go in with intentionality and say, hey, I want to pull one or two things out of this book. Okay. Maybe not $100 million offer. Okay. But if I can get one or two things that can get me closer, right, then it's worth your time. All right. So what do you say to a guy like me? I got to be just transparent as a mug with you. Okay. Here we go. So I don't do a whole lot of reading, my friend. Matter of fact, I know it's important. And so I got Audible, you know what I'm saying? So now I'm doing the audiobooks, which I know don't have as much retention. And it is harder to pull out those one or two things, right? And like, you know, you're listening to it and it's good. And again, it's kind of like going to that conference and you hear the stuff, but you don't do the stuff. So what do you tell a guy like me who's an Audible guy, okay, who really doesn't take time to bust a book out and get in there and start digging in?
I'd say a couple of things. First is that I listen to about 30 books a year, so I'm a big Audible guy too, but you have to understand they're not as effective because 80% of the inputs to our brains are visual. The other senses, they only make up the rest of the 20%. So by default, if you're only listening to something and you're multitasking because you're driving or doing chores or you're at the gym, you're not going to have the opportunity to retain and implement as much as a physical paper book, right? When you're reading a physical paper book, you are monotasking. You're focused on one thing and nothing else can distract you. And so again, by default, I think reading a physical paper book is better. Now, here's what I would say. And I love to ask this question. I'd say, hey, Trevor, let's pretend we just met. Hey, Trevor, if I paid you $10,000 to read one physical paper book next month, do you think you could do it?
Oh, yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'll make it happen. You know, yeah.
So it's not a question of whether or not you can read, but it's a question of whether or not you value the book enough to prioritize it into your calendar. You prioritize the money, right? Maybe you'd be like, I could read 10 books next month if I was getting paid 10 G's a piece. But would you read without the money? So, you know, I've got a bunch of counterpoints to why I think these books are valuable enough to insert them into our calendar. But the fact is, I think that reading personal development material is one of the most underutilized skill sets that we all have access to today. All of us can read, but we're choosing not to. So we're no better than the people who don't read or who can't read. It's this skill that we spent 10 years learning, and now we barely even use it.
It's so important, man. You know, listen, I'm even writing a book myself, right? Like, you got your book that's launching, what is it, November 1st, Rise of the Reader, right?
Yes, sir.
Rise of the Reader, November 1st. You guys need to go check it out. Okay. You need to go pick up a copy, you know, and I'm writing a book myself, right? It's called Chains to Freedom. And, you know, like, listen, I probably should read some more books. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just being real. Okay.
Oh, you showed me Grant's book. You read.
Yeah. Oh, I read. Yeah. I'm not like, you know, illiterate or something, you know, but I read. But listen, I just know I don't do near enough, right? Physical reading. There's so many books. People give me books all the time. They're like, hey, they tell me, you're the go-giver, right? That's in my spirit. Like, I'm a giver, right? So they're like, oh, you're the go-giver. You got to read this book, The Go-Giver. I'm like, cool. I got it on my shelf, right? Like, I'll put it.
It's a good book.
I put it in my Audible, you know, playlist. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, I need to prioritize it. I'm making excuses. Okay, excuses are like buttholes. Everybody's got one, and they stink. So let's go.
Well, check this out. So in as little as 15 minutes a day, you can read a book a month. And here's the math. So 15 minutes in the morning, maybe just replace a little bit of Instagram scrolling, or maybe even 15 minutes in the evening, replace a little bit of Netflix or HBO or sports or whatever, just 15 minutes a day. In 15 minutes, you can read about 10 pages, let's say, for a beginner. That's 50 pages a week. That's 200 pages a month. Most of these books, they're only about 200 pages. So even 15 minutes a day, 5 days a week, that'll get you a book every single month. That's 12 areas of your life that you can improve over the next year. if you read about 12 things that could change your life.
I love how you broke that down. That's so simple, right? How you break it down. And that's how you do a lot of things, a lot of goals. You want to break it down into small little actionable steps. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, right? So you broke it down 15 minutes a day, which when you say it that way, it's like, okay, again, no excuses, 15 minutes a day. I was just thinking, I'm like, okay, so when will I do this? And I was like, you know what, when I'm going to do this, and we'll see how it works out, but I'm going to do this. I recently got one. I made an ice bath. Okay. You ever seen people doing those ice bath things?
Oh, I do them. Yeah.
Yeah. I got this deep freezer, right? You know, you fill it up with water and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, did that thing. It's 15 minutes. Got to do 15 minutes. So I'm going to read a book while I'm in there torturing myself. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if my brain can handle it. We'll see. But maybe that's a
it's
good
okay
opportunity.
If the book gets wet. Yeah, that's fine. Now, I'm one of those guys that actually does the ice baths too, but I've never read while I'm in the ice bath. That's sometimes I listen to music because it's a little bit intense.
Correct.
So I'm trying to pump myself up a little bit.
Correct. I listen to music too. So I'm like, maybe I should read a book instead. Instead of filling my mind with junk, I put some knowledge in there. All right. So, okay. So tell me a little bit more. I want to know about Book Thinkers. How's that community? Okay. How's it played a role in helping readers to implement what they're learning? Because again, if we're just putting it in one ear and out the other and we're not implementing, right? So how has your community helped with that?
Yeah. So over time, right, I started this community simply to connect with like-minded people. You know, I was posting the books that I was reading because they were changing my life. And I just wanted to share those books on social media so that my friends and my family, they could get access to my favorite takeaways, right? Try to make social media a more positive place. And what blew my mind was that there were so many other readers out there. And I think the reason they jumped into my community and it's grown so fast and so strong is because oftentimes, like that person in a friend group that's reading personal development books, they're the most motivated person they know. And so they default to social media to kind of find community, right? They're the only person that's reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad or the 4-Hour Workweek or $100 Million Offers. And so they kind of have to find a comfortable place to talk about it. And so over the years, it's forced me to read more books. And as a result, I've continued to improve my implementation strategies. And I share them with people and I collect feedback and I hear what my community is doing to get more out of these books. Because one of my favorite quotes, I'll probably repeat it multiple times today, is that action is the real measure of intelligence. It's a Napoleon Hill quote. And I love it so much because I really do feel like if you read these books and choose not to implement them, they're more like a form of entertainment, not education and behavior change. And that bugs me because these books, they condense decades of lived experience. Somebody else spent years learning a very specific skill set, doing research, figuring things out, and then they just share that lesson in a $20 book that you can read in a couple hours, and we ignore them. To me, it's the best life hack out there.
No, that's what you're saying. I love that because you're absolutely right. Like as I'm writing this book, I'm putting my life experience into it. I'm putting, I'm only 36 years old, but you know what I'm saying? I'm putting some years in there. You know what I mean? I'm putting some time, okay, into this book as far as like the things that I've been through, the challenges that I've overcome. Right. And so like, yeah, you're absolutely right. I hear what you're saying, and to dismiss that so easily, you know, and especially when you get people that have just absolutely dominated the game. Like you were talking about Alex Hormozi, right? You were talking about him. Like he's freaking crushing it, man. That guy's just dominating the game, right? Like, yeah, it might be beneficial to listen to what this guy's got to say. He's mapping it out for you. You know what I mean? So it might be beneficial to take a look at that book. So I love that. I love that. Okay, so your book, Rise of the Reader, right? It's set to launch November 1st. We talked about that. I want you to give me a couple of things that we can expect to learn from this book and how it can really help people on their reading journey and to take those actionable steps. Like what can readers expect to learn in your book?
So I've mentioned a couple things that you can find in there. So, you know, 15 minutes a day will change your life. I've talked a little bit about how to set an intention for each book that you read. Let's carry that example through a little bit further and I'll teach some additional strategies. So let's say that you're reading $100 Million Leads by Alex Hormozi, his new book, and you've set an intention to find and implement two things that can change your life. First, I want to mention that reading and note-taking are two completely separate activities, and you don't want to multitask. Unfortunately, a lot of people, they task switch between reading and taking notes in the middle of the experience. And as a result, they're kind of slow and inefficient. It takes a while to get through these books. So what I like to do when I'm reading is I review that intention that I have. I write it on the inside cover of the book. I review it each time I read a few more pages. And I'm filtering for, now my brain is filtering for those actions to take. As I'm reading, if I think I find one, I highlight it real quick. I circle the page number. I put a little star next to it and I keep reading. Because remember, you don't want to pause and take notes. That will disrupt your flow. Once I'm done with the book, I'll go back and I'll rewrite all of the takeaways from that book on paper. Because repetition leads to retention. If you can rewrite it, rework it, reflect on the material another time, you're more likely to retain it and take action. But here's what I do. Let's say I found 15 potential actions to take, like 15 potential lead generation strategies that I could implement. Here's the fact. Not every action is created equal, right? Some have more leverage, some have less leverage. So when I look at that list of 15 takeaways, I'm going to say what 20% of these can lead to 80% of the change that I'm looking to make in the timeline that I've given myself to make them. So I'll just choose two or three things to implement from each book, the highest leverage activities. Because I remember reading Think and Grow Rich for my, you know, the first time I read it, I had over 100 takeaways from the book and I was so overwhelmed that I didn't implement anything. And so you want to make this bite size. Like you said, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you change the lead generation in your business from Alex's book? One activity at a time. You got to make it digestible. And so that's another tip, is you got to separate reading and note taking, and then you just got to choose the best stuff to implement.
Man, I love what you said there, because again, I go back to like these, you know, these conferences and stuff that you go to. It's the same thing. You're like, they literally make you drink from a fire hose, right? And so you're getting all this information, and you know, you get 100 aha moments, and you're like, and then you leave and you do nothing because, you know, but I love what you said. So you kind of just write those things down. First, go through, highlight, and just move on. Just highlight, star it, move on. Don't sit there and, you know, do a deep dive. Just highlight it, star it, move on. Then go back, write down those items, right? Those aha moments, those light bulb moments. And then from there, then you want to go ahead and set it into a priority as, you know, what's going to make the biggest impact in the timeline. Even I love what you said, because it's like, hey, I want to get this result in 90 days or whatever the case may be. So you even gave yourself a timeline. So which one of these is going to get me closest to the goal in the timeline that I've set for myself? I love that. That's really intentional. I love how you did that.
Yeah. And like you said, conferences are the same way. So when I go to a conference and I meet people and I say, hey, I'm Nick, what can I help you with? And then the person on the other end is like, well, I don't know. I'm just kind of here to learn. Like, learn what? You know, if you kind of drink from a fire hose, you end up doing nothing, that the notebook goes back on your shelf, like you said. So when I go to a conference, I define a goal that I can share with other people. It might be find and implement at least 2 communication strategies, you know, or something like that by the end of the weekend. And then you kind of filter for what people do on stage. And then that's what you're learning, not the information they're teaching, but what they're doing on stage. Or maybe I'll say, hey, I'm looking to meet 5 new authors and set up a virtual coffee. Do you know anybody in the room that's an author? Right. So I'm kind of trying to share my goal with other people so they can help me achieve it. I think you want to share your goal with the book so the book can help you achieve it.
Share your goal with the book. Y'all hear that? Mic drop. All right. Share your goal with the
book. I've never said that before too, so I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. You need to quote that. I want to see a quote card. Okay. With your face on it. And it says, share your goal with the book. Okay. I love that. Like, why the heck are you reading this book in the first place? Why? You know, I love that. I do want to switch gears for just a moment. We were talking backstage about podcasting, right? So you've got a podcast, and you were telling me a little bit about it. And here's what I know about podcasting. Like, so I've been doing podcasting for 6 years, and I think I've done over, I don't know, 500 episodes, something like that, right? And what I noticed was, man, all of a sudden, like, I'm interviewing a lot of authors, okay? A lot of best-selling authors, right? And it just so happened to work that way. And then now I'm finding myself becoming an author, right? So I'm writing a book. And but talk to me about your experience with your podcast. You've had some big names. You've had Russell Brunson from, you know, from ClickFunnels. Yeah, from ClickFunnels. And you've had Grant Cardone. And you were telling me a little bit about a story about, with Grant. He's one of my heroes. So talk to me about your podcast and some of the journey you've had there.
Yeah, man. So I started my show because I noticed a lot of the authors that I was reviewing their books and I was posting about them on socials. And I noticed a lot of these authors started to follow my accounts. They'd reshare my content. And I thought, I wonder if I could host a follow-up conversation with each author after I read their books and do like a deeper dive, do like a follow-up mentoring session, and then just document it so that my audience can hear this conversation too, maybe even suggest some questions. So like you've mentioned, I've been able to interview a lot of my heroes, people like Russell and Grant. We just had Hormozy on, PBD, a lot of these guys.
Oh, I love Patrick Bet-David. Oh my gosh, he's like one of my favorites. Dude, you got to hook me up, man. I love PBD, man. Listen, man, he's even got a financial services and insurance background like I do. And just that guy, I just love him. He's awesome. Anyway, go ahead.
He is awesome. Yeah, he asks really great questions and he's just like, he's the man. I actually interviewed him when he was still in Dallas. So you were kind of neighbors with him back in the day. So
I know, but back then I didn't even know who he was back then. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm like kicking myself. I'm like, dang it. Now he's out in Florida, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So with the podcast, there are a couple of things. Hold on, I'm going to cough. Let me just mute my mic. So there are a couple of things that I realized when I first started my journey. Number one, these people are more accessible than you think they are. There's kind of a metaphor that I've heard used before to describe this, and I think it's true. It's like the hot girl at the bar. Mm. You know, everybody's scared of rejection, all the guys kind of hanging out, and so they never approach her. And as a result, at the end of the night, she's kind of left feeling insecure because nobody talked to her because they thought they'd get rejected, right? The same thing happens with these social media and business personalities. It's they have so many followers that you anticipate a no, so you never even try to engage in the first place. But I noticed when I had like 20,000 followers on IG, for instance, I used to get 50 to 100 DMs a day from my community because I was accessible. I was perceived as accessible. Now, you know, I think once we crossed the six-figure mark, 100,000, I don't get DM'd by anybody anymore. And I've asked people like, hey, you know, hey, why didn't you reach out sooner? Somebody will say, oh, I've been dealing with something for 6 months or whatever. And they'll say, well, I didn't think you were going to answer. And so I think that's kind of principle number one is that these people are more accessible than you think, and you just need to find a way to get in touch with them. So speaking of find a way to get in touch with them, have you ever read the book, The Third Door, or listened to it?
I have not. Tell me about it.
So there's this cool metaphor, the third door, and we'll use a nightclub as an example. Every nightclub has three ways to get in. Door number one is general admission. That's like following somebody on social media and commenting on their post, right? The line wraps around the corner. There's a million people trying to get in. Maybe you even have to pay a cover. Maybe they'll turn you away. You might not get in. Door number two, that's the VIP entrance. And when you're first starting a podcast, like you're not a VIP yet. So you can't just kind of cut the line. You're not famous. They're not paying you to show up to the club, which eventually happens. So you've got to find a third door. And in this metaphor, the third door might mean you got to break in the kitchen window and kind of army crawl through the back and come in the back door, right? You got to find a creative way to get in the club. But the fact is, if you can get in, you're still in the club. So how do you find the third door when interviewing really, you know, tough to reach people? So I'll kind of wrap this up with a story about Grant, because this is a two-part story. Number one, to have him on my show the first time, he was episode number 9 on my podcast. I was, you know, I DM'd him like 10 times. I did a bunch of book reviews. I tried to get his attention. He didn't pay any attention, right? That's general admission. So I was playing around with one of his websites one day and I clicked a box that said something like, I'd be willing to spend $25,000 for him to do a virtual keynote at my event. I didn't even have an event, but I just checked the box. I didn't have the budget either, but I wanted to get kind of the email nomenclature for his emails and just kind of like get to know his team a little bit. So they emailed me. I said, hey, spoiler alert, I have no money. I'm not even hosting an event, but like, I'd love to have Grant on my podcast. And they said no, maybe like 10 times in a row, but I just kept pitching the value. I said, I have this audience on social media. I'll chop it up. I'll distribute it to them. It's a new podcast. Grant can sell anything he wants. I tried playing at the ego a little bit. I said, Nobody in my audience knows who he is. They're all too young. It's a new audience for Grant. Like, let's get this going. And eventually, through the persistence, somebody said yes. So I have Grant on the podcast, virtual show. And as we're, it was a cool conversation. It was a little bit chaotic, but that's Grant. Towards the end, I still have Grant on. He's taken off his earpiece and everything. He's getting ready to leave. And I said, hey, Grant, I'm going to be in Miami soon. Can we film another show, this time in person at your studio? And he said, yeah, sure, man. That was a blast, right? I caught him at the peak emotional state. So I clipped that and I sent it to his team. And I said, hey, I'm going to be in Miami from X to Y. Like, pick any date. I'll make it work. Now, here's the funny thing about that. I wasn't planning to be in Miami. I just wanted them to think I was. So they picked a date. I booked my tickets. I flew to Miami just to interview Grant. And I got to spend a whole day with him. And those pictures have been worth their weight in gold. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But that's the third door, man. I found a creative way to get in touch with him.
All right. So you just gave me an idea. So check it out. So I actually was introduced to Elena first, okay? And I had to follow up with Elena for like forever, okay? And they were telling me no, telling me no, telling me no, right? And it just so happened I got Grant before Elena, okay? So I got an interview with Grant, actually because of Breakfast with Champions, shout out, because of Breakfast with Champions and Glenn Lundy and all of that, day one when we opened that room, when we started Breakfast with Champions, day one, here comes Grant. Here comes Elena, and here comes all these big hitters, man. They were all in the room. Anyways, long story short, I got that interview with Grant. Because of the interview with Grant, then Elena said yes. Well, Elena's team said yes, right? So they finally said yes, and I just had my second interview with Elena, and this one was actually in person, okay? So the first one was virtual, and so this one was actually in person, and we just did an event called Not On Our Watch Texas, which was about stopping child sex trafficking, okay, and bringing awareness to it and things like that. So we just did this event, and it was really cool. I felt like I you know, really built a bond with her because we're going in and you know, fighting a cause. You know what I mean? And so you just gave me an idea right now. You just gave me an idea because I still want to strengthen that relationship even more, right? Her episode is actually going to be releasing this week, and we've polished it up. And so maybe I should reach out to her and her team and say, hey, listen, I would now like to do a follow-up episode because we had an interview before the event. We got the event, and now I want to do after the event, right, to talk about the same topic. So maybe she would be connected to that. But and tell her, hey, I'll come down to your I'll go down to Florida and we'll do it there. What do you think?
Yeah, I love that. Oh, I love it, man. Yeah. Use that third door, get creative, have some fun with it. And listen, I've been able to find and interview pretty much everybody that I've wanted to using those strategies. And so I think that's really cool that you're going to do that. I got to hold you accountable to it.
Podcasting is a great relationship builder, right? Would you agree? Have you talk to me about that? How has podcasting helped you in your business ventures? Now with your book, like you're doing a podcast with me, I'm sure you're doing a whole blitz of podcasts to promote your book. Is that correct?
Yeah. And I think podcasting is such a great way to connect with people because you can have a long form conversation, right? For anybody that's been here for the last 30 minutes, they've gotten to know my story a little bit more. It's so much more powerful than just you know, like a quick Instagram post or something like that. So podcasting is magical. Now, for my business, Book Thinkers, we help authors promote and market their books. And we work with a couple hundred authors a year. It's such an amazing experience. And, you know, working with people like Grant, just like borrowing his credibility, right? Trust is transitive. If you trust Grant and I can show that Grant trusts me by promoting my show with him and stuff like that, then these other authors are more likely to trust me as well. So it's a cool hack, right? Trust is transitive. If you can work with the biggest people in your space, you could do more business offline that way as well.
100%. I've been able to get some big names on my show just by showing people that I've had Grant on the show, right? So it's like once you get that one, yeah. It's like a resume, right? Like it's like, hey, this is what I've done. And like, here's my top episodes. Here's my top guests, blah, 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 blah. And then when you go to approach that next person, it's a little bit easier. Right? You got the credibility.
Yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. trust is transitive. Borrow that credibility, man. And, you know, I think like for promoting my book, again, Rise of the Reader launches November 1st, teaches you how to get more from the books you're reading and take better action. Yeah, I've been leveraging podcasts a lot because I, again, it's such a great way to communicate a message. And I'm such a fan of platforms. Like, I love how you're streaming on Clubhouse. I love how you're hosting this show. It's such a fun way to share what I've learned over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I love that. So I got a question for you. I want to just dive in a little bit deeper, okay? Because you've done a lot of podcast episodes, and you're out there promoting your book and all this kind of stuff and getting your story out there. My question to you is, what is something that you've always wanted to share on a podcast about yourself, maybe about your book, right? But what's something that you've wanted to share, but no one's asked you? They haven't asked you the question, so you're kind of like, okay, well, I guess it'll get there one day.
Oh, man. I've got to think about that for a second.
Could be something personal, maybe something from your childhood. Who knows, man? Is there anything you've ever just like, man, I would love to talk about this. This is a subject or a topic, can be not even related to the book.
Yeah, you know, I was actually thinking about this a little bit on a walk this morning with my dog. So I'll share something that's top of mind and that's kind of present for me. When I was younger, I had a lot of insecurities around my ability to communicate, what people thought of me. Like, I paid way too much attention to what other people thought. And as a result, I think I actually cultivated like a really good form of awareness because I was so conscious of what everybody else was thinking all the time. And so awareness is one of my strengths. And I think I developed that strength because insecurity and anxiety was a weakness of mine when I was younger. So I was just kind of having that thought this morning. I haven't shared that on a podcast before. But yeah, I think a lot of times your purpose comes from your pain. You can overcome something and then it becomes a strength of yours. And so, yeah, that's something to share that's new and fun and different.
I love that. Okay. So another question I have for you here is, you know, when we're talking about books, okay, there's a lot of self-improvement books, a lot of personal development books, okay, and a lot to choose from. So how do you recommend people select the right books that align with their goals and their interests? Because earlier you were talking about, you know, sharing your goals with your book, right? So what is a way to make sure that you're picking out the right book and you're not wasting your time?
I think when you're first starting out, there's two kind of buckets that you can fall into here. Bucket number one is pick books that solve problems in your life. Because again, life can be easier than you think. It doesn't have to be so hard. I mean, billions of people have lived before us. Millions of them have written books, and thousands of those books detail somebody else overcoming the same problem that you're currently facing. So if you just invest $20 in a few hours of your time reading about how you can overcome that problem in your personal life or your business, a lot of magic happens. And so I'll share something else. I heard Jordan Peterson say this once, and it stuck in my head. If you deal with a pain in your personal life, your business on a daily basis, over the next 30 years, you'll experience that pain 11,000 times. That's the math, 30 times 365. So why not spend a little bit of time, maybe the next 100 days, figure it out so that you don't have to experience it the next 10,900 times? That's what books do. They solve problems. So if you can be aware, fix your problems. Number two is develop skill sets. So I'm somebody who believes we're all capable of doing more, of living bigger lives, more, you know, creating more impact, earning more money, being healthier, being happier, everything. And so envision yourself a couple of years in the future. What does that life look like? And what's holding you back? Do you need to develop a specific skill set that will close the gap between where you are and where you want to be? And if so, what books can help you close that skill gap? Like selling, you know, you shared Grant's book earlier. If you know you need to close more business to live your dream life, and you know that closing, negotiation, persuasion, sales, those are skill sets that you can work on, why not learn from somebody who's clearly had some success selling and closing business, right? So books solve problems and they develop skill sets. And I think that's kind of the first step to picking the right book for you.
Man, I love that. What a great answer. You know, we live in a world where it's like there's so much content, right? So much different forms of content too, right? And it could be easy to just become a zombie, especially on social media, right? You start scrolling, right? And you're just becoming a consumer, okay? You're just becoming a consumer. So I think it's important about what you just said to be intentional. Like, we live in a world where we can create the life of our dreams, okay? It just takes some work and some action, but you can create the life of your dreams. It takes a little time, takes some action, but if you're intentional about it, as to your point, you say, you know what, I've got a problem. In order to get to this goal, I've got to overcome this obstacle, whatever that challenge is, whatever's in front of you, whether, like you said, if it's sales, I need to learn how to close better. If it's marketing, like if you're starting a business and you need to learn how to market, like you said, Alex's book, right? So there's all these different things, and the recipe is there, guys. That's what I want you to understand. The recipe's there. It's about going out there, being intentional about it. And to your point, taking some good notes and putting it to work and making sure that you're not just a consumer. Because again, if you read that book and you don't do anything with it, then you're just a consumer, right? You just got sold to, okay, is what it was. You just got sold Alex's book. That's all that happened, right? Or you just got sold Nick's book. You didn't put it to action. So, you're a consumer. And do you guys want to be consumers or creators? I got to know in the chat, all my live audience, you want to be a consumer or a creator? All right. I want to know. Put it in the chat. Put consumer or creator. And I'll give you a shout out because, listen, I don't want to just be a consumer. That's not me. Okay. I know for me personally, I want to create. And creation is the way that you are able to fulfill your dreams and live the life that you of purpose and impact, right? But you got to create. You can't just sit back and consume pop, like you're watching TV eating popcorn. You're not going to get there. It's not going to happen.
Yes. One of the things I talk about in my book, Rise of the Reader, is an education to entertainment ratio. And I think if you could go through a week and map out how much time are you spending educating yourself and how much time are you spending entertaining yourself. And unfortunately, what a lot of people will find is that there's like a 1-to-10 ratio. Most people, they're consuming 10 times more than they're actually creating and educating themselves. And so that's something that I outline in the book, because you're right. Action is what makes the difference here.
And if you're going to consume, I will say this, if you're going to be a consumer, consume with intention, okay? Meaning, I'm going to go on Instagram, okay? Let's just say I'm going to go on there, I'm going to consume, okay? But I'm consuming with the intention of figuring out trends, figuring out like, hey, what kind of background music is hot right now? You put with your reel that's going to be a trending sound or a viral song or what have you, right? Like you're going in with the intention of, learning about how to be better with the tool itself, right? So don't just go there like and pull up TikTok and just start scrolling and go, no, I'm here to learn TikTok. Okay, I'm here to learn TikTok. So that's why I'm on the platform. That's why I'm scrolling. That's why I'm consuming. And have some, to your point, a goal and an action, right? So I love that, man. This has been an awesome conversation. I definitely want everybody to go pick up Rise of the Reader, okay? Rise of the Reader. And here's what I want you to do, okay? Because we want to support Nick. I want you to go pick up. Is there a way that they can pre-order the book? Can they get it now? Okay. Let's go. Let's go. By the way, do you have a goal as far as like you're trying to hit – bestseller, Amazon, New York, the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, anything like that? Do you have a goal of how many copies that you're wanting to sell?
That's a great question. I am looking to sell 10,000 books within the first couple of months. It's not to be on the New York Times bestseller list, but just to help as many people as possible. And go out there and grab your paperbacks. It's funny, some of those platforms like New York Times, they're not just purely based on book sales. It's a little bit of a political game too. So I don't, I've already hit the Amazon bestseller statuses and stuff like that. But look, I'm just trying to get this book out there to as many people as possible.
Fair enough, guys. So it's about impact. And think about the ripple effect real quick. Okay, I want you to think about this. 10,000 copies get out there, get sold. That's 10,000 people that are learning how to take meaningful action as they're reading this information, and they're starting to put that to work in their life, and their life gets better, and they're able to fulfill their dreams or solve their problems, right? Like, guys, there's a ripple effect to this thing. So let's help this man out. Nick, man, go to Amazon. Okay, get you a copy of Rise of the Reader. Okay, copy of Rise of the Reader. And I want you to do me a favor. I want you to screenshot that. Okay, take a screenshot of your purchase. Send it to me. Okay, I want you to actually send it to me, whoyouknowshow@gmail.com. And I got something I'm gonna hook you up with. Okay, Okay, but you need to do it. Send me a copy. Okay, or a screenshot of this book, man, because I want to help this man out get to 10,000 copies sold, all right? And lastly, Nick, where can the readers connect with you online? What's the best platform or the best place to, you know, connect with you personally?
For people that want to connect with me, one of my favorite things to do is give personal custom book recommendations. So DM me at BookThinkers, spelled just like it sounds, BookThinkers on Instagram. Tell me about a problem you have. Tell me about a skill you want to develop. I'll probably go back and forth with you a little bit. I answer every single one of these, and I will give you a custom book recommendation and even follow up with you after 90 days and see if you read the book and what you thought about it. So that's where people can connect, on IG at BookThinkers.
I've been to some conferences where I've left empty-handed. Specifically, one was a legend, okay, Tony Robbins, right? So legend Tony Robbins. I got to go to a conference, and he was literally standing right in front of me. Like I was in the third or fourth row. He's like right in front of me. He's like spitting on me. He's doing all this, you know, how he does this, and he's spitting on me, and we're all jumping up and down, and man, I'm pumped up. I'm like, yeah, you know, he gets you so jacked up. Okay. And that's all I remember. Okay. I know there was probably a million lessons in there, but I don't remember any of it. All I remember is how he made me feel, which is, you know, Maya Angelou, right? They don't, how does she put it? What's her quote? They don't care how you, they only care how you make them feel, something like that. I you know what I'm talking about. That quote from Maya Angelou. They don't care something. They only care how you make them feel, something like that. You know what the quote I'm talking about. I'll put it in the show notes. Anyway, but that's what it was for me. That's what it was for me. I went to Tony Robbins, and all I remember is how he made me feel, which he made me feel like $1 million, and I was all jacked up on Mountain Dew. But as far as any action taken, I didn't take any action because I guess there was just so much coming at me, fire hose, right? And what's interesting is I'm actually going to be going to he's coming to Dallas again, and I'm going to another Tony Robbins, except this one's 4 days long where you walk across the coals and the fire. And I'm like, dang, I guess I'm doing this. I'm about to go rock across the fire, you know? So y'all go see me with blister foot, okay? But that's Tony
Trevor,
Robbins.
I looked up the quote.
Yeah, what's the quote?
Yeah, so I've learned that people will forget what you said. Yep. People will forget what you did, but yep, people will never forget how you made them feel. Shout out Maya.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I forgot what he said. I forgot what he did, but I won't forget how Tony made me feel. I felt like $1 bazillion, and I was so jacked up in the motivation, right? So guys, be careful of that, because, you know, as I'm saying this, right, you can go to these conferences and get all jacked up on Mountain Dew and motivation, right? And leave with nothing and spending thousands of dollars. So go in with intention. Otherwise, that's going to be the result that you walk out with, which that's cool. If you want to get pumped up, I could think of a lot less expensive ways to do it than a conference. Maybe go ride a roller coaster or something like that. That'd be a lot cheaper than, a lot cheaper thrill. Go jump out of a plane. I don't know. Go do something other than just throwing your money away at a conference just to get the motivation. If you're not going to take the action, is all I'm saying. So, and I'm guilty of it myself. So guys, again, this has been an amazing episode. Nick, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an awesome, I want to connect with you, you know, obviously offline. We got a lot of synergy, and let's collab, my friend. And one last question I got for you. all right, is if you like this show, okay, it's all about who you know, okay? And so you said PBD. I heard a few big names, man. You got a relationship with PBD, or is that just kind of went through the podcast and stuff and not really a relationship? You got a relationship with him?
Not much of a relationship, but I can try to build one again for you. Because you've helped me out. You know, you put me in front of a cool community. And so let's work together on it, man. I got you.
Dude, PBD is one of my faves, man. He's the real deal. I like that guy. I like what he stands for. I like his beliefs. I like everything that guy's about. So I got to get him on the show. Matter of fact, everybody in the audience, if y'all know PBD or any kind of routes to PBD, holler at us, okay? Because I'd love to have that guy on the show. Bring him to you, okay? That's what I'm doing. I'm out here looking for people that are doing next level stuff like Nick, okay? So bring him on here, to bring him to you, so that we can extract some of this knowledge and put it to work. Thanks again, man. We appreciate you. Thanks again. Have an amazing, blessed day. Go out there and change the world.
Thanks for listening to the Who You Know Show podcast. My name is Trevor Houston, and if you've enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing wherever you listen and leave us a positive review to help us keep the mics on in the studio. Until next week, that's the show. It's all about Who You Know.